God commands us to let his word dwell in us richly in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to worship him musically. We're to proclaim his word musically. And so we want to train up our students, our children, to be able to sing skillfully with music, to understand what they're doing. Bible says sing with understanding. But it's all couched in studying God's word, growing up as Christian worshipers. Sometimes I know people are a little scared of music camp because maybe they're not a musical family, but it's for everybody. It's a mix of real beginners and more advanced students, and they help one another that way.
But the thing that really gives it weight and glory is that the whole week is focused towards a concert, a glorious presentation of the music we've been working on all week long. So there's this goal in mind. There's something that the students not just participate in, but actively create.
I'll see students who come in who have had no musical experience. You can tell they're overwhelmed by first day. They're just awed by it because they've been part of something that is new to them and much larger than them, something they've not experienced before. And I would say the majority of times, those kinds of students come back because they've tasted something that's really glorious, a foretaste of heaven.
These students are learning through the course of their time at music camp not to be music consumers, but to be active participants in making music. So not only to learn how to sing well, how to understand music as it's written on a page, and how it comes together in a group environment, but to be able to take those experiences and have them be the seeds that are planted for their involvement, their whole life, in the musical life of the church. We want these students to be the next wave of worshipers in the church who know how to sing to God.
What is going on here?
Wait a minute! Who are you?
No! God, please, no! No! No!
You serious?
Okay, let's go.
Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts
now.
What is going on here? Welcome back to another episode of Cross Politic, but just not any Cross Politic. It's a Cross Politic. It's a takeover by the Dead Men Walking podcast. That's right. Kick the boys out. Said, get out of here. We're going to play today, guys. I'm Greg Moore, host of the Dead Men Walking podcast, and we are taking over Cross Politics. The guys are on a little R&R, as they say. That's relaxation and rest. Or rest and relaxation. Now, here's a fun fact, if you guys didn't know that. If you say R&R, if you just say that term, you're actually saying, oh no, in an Australian accent. R&R! Anyway, we got jokes up front. But before we get into it, I got to tell you about the best labor company there is in the world, redballoon.work. Not so long ago, the American dream was alive and well. Employees who worked hard were rewarded, and employers looked for people who could do the job. Not for people who have the right political views. Redballoon.work is a job site designed to get us back to what made America business successful. Free speech, hard work, and having fun. If you are a free speech employer who wants to hire employees who focus on their work and not identity politics, then post a job on redballoon.work. If you are an employee who is being censored at work or is being forced to comply with the current zeitgeist, post your resume on redballoon.work and look for a new job. Redballoon.work, the job site where free speech is still alive. Love those brothers in the Lord. Go check them out, redballoon.work. So we've got a great episode for you guys. We're going to be talking all kinds of great stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Right at the top of the show, I have someone coming in here. It looks like it's Doug Wilson.
Introduction. It's important to begin by saying that my presence here is merely to ensure the integrity of this proceeding. With the recognized wild man who would be so bold as to call his show Dead Men Walking taking the place of our normally articulate gaggle of goodly wordsmiths, I thought it in accordance with sage wisdom to lend my discerning ear to this next hour. And even though we're going to be discussing the hilarity of frivolity, I think it necessary to do so with the puritanical punditry that this show is normally known for exuding. So buckle up and get your babies ready to be fed communion, because we're about to get started.
Well, Doug, I'm so honored that you would stop in while I'm taking over the Cross Politic podcast. How do you find time to come on the podcast with everything you're doing right now?
Well, if I were you, I would be excited to meet me too. And I don't know, you know, I have so many people that need my attention, but I felt you were the most worthy. So I came on to talk to you.
Now, I've seen you around everywhere. I think I saw you down moderating a debate between James White and Jason Bretta down at the Why Calvinism Conference. I've seen you out at the Right Response Ministry Conference. I mean, you get around everywhere. How was that debate that you moderated between James and Jason?
Well, you know, the why Calvinism was the question of the conference, and the answer is because of guys like Jason. He's just awful.
Now, let me ask you this before you have to get going here. Do you agree with superior theology? Are you superior theology?
Well, I have a pair of pajamas, and there is a giant S on the front of the pajamas. And it doesn't stand for Superman. It stands for superior theology, because I am, of course, the avatar of all superior theology.
There we go. Oh, it's Doug Wilson, everybody. Oh, man. Keith Foskey, my man. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
Good. And for those of you watching right now and going, what the heck is going on? Some of you do know, some of you don't know, but this is Keith Foskey, my brother from another mother, a great Reformed Baptist friend. We've gotten to know each other over the last couple of years, and you've probably seen him all over the socials, man. I mean, TikTok, YouTube. He's got his denominational videos that are millions and millions of views. He's got his podcast. And people are now, you know, you started this character. It was called Harbor Freight Doug Wilson. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was actually something that happened because of you and I together. We were at the conference, the first Shadows of Substance conference in Tullahoma, and you were dressed in a very nice jacket. I was dressed in my green sweater vest, and somebody gave me a name tag that said Doug Wilson. They said, with the sweater vest, I look like Doug Wilson. So, and this was this year, but we did the same picture 2 years in a row. Right. And we said, we look like the Harbor Freight version of Jeff Durbin and Doug Wilson. And for whatever reason, people loved it.
Yeah.
And the Harbor Freight, two things, people will come up to me, Harbor Freight, like that they'll say that, but also, on my YouTube videos, Harbor Freight has been mentioned so many times that now the advertisements that come up before the show are Harbor Freight advertisements. It's like in the algorithm.
You've affected the algorithm, huh? That's awesome.
That's how many times people have mentioned it in the comments and everything else. It's like I'm connected to Harbor Freight, and I hope they don't ever just send me a cease and desist, because I hope I'm helping them out.
So a couple things about that. One, I didn't know what I was stepping into when I met you a little over a year ago and I'd seen your videos, but the kind of, for lack of a better term, the cult following you have of people who just really love those videos. And I went, sure, I'll take a picture of you. Yeah, that seems funny. And then I'm getting tagged and stuff. Jeff Durbin is friends with me on Facebook. He goes, what the heck is going on here? Luke Pearson, who does his podcast with him, is going, man, that's great. And I'm going, hey, that wasn't my idea. Someone just took a picture of this Keith guy, and now, you know, things are blowing up. Two, I love that a Presbyterian is pretending to be a Baptist, and a Baptist is pretending to be a Presbyterian. That's a nice little switch there. And then thirdly, for those who don't know, I think Harbor Freight is a national chain, isn't it?
Yep.
Right. So most people should know.
I was gonna say it's in Jacksonville. I know it's where you are.
And yeah.
You're up Michigan. In no man's land up
yeah.
there.
But no Michigan. Man's land. Yeah. Yeah. So the joke is
it's an undisclosed location. I just disclosed it. I'm sorry.
No, we've been on the air now for 4 years, and I've talked about where I'm at, almost down to where you could probably find my address. And I go, I need to take that out of the intro. I mean, it's not undisclosed anymore. But the joke is Harbor Freight is kind of like your lower, cheaper end, you know, like Lowe's or Home Depot or something like that. So the Harbor Freight, kind of the imitation Nation. You know, it's kind of a self-deprecating joke, which I like. And look, I love Jeff Durbin and obviously Doug Wilson and those guys. So I thought it was a fun joke. I do have to show this, though. This is the insanity for those of you watching on the video, too, and not just listening. We're putting up some slides. But this is the insanity of what you've done over the last 2 years. I saw this come across randomly on my Facebook feed. And for those of you who are just listening, it is a Facebook post of a gentleman standing with Doug Wilson, and he says, and his comment is, it's at a random conference, and he says, I got to hang out with Keith Foskey this evening. Thanks for a great conversation, Keith. So here's Doug Wilson, who has to live with your identity, because now they've flipped it, and that's from, what's this gentleman's name? Jay Antelo, is that how we say it? I want to give him props.
Yeah, he is the Reformed Recon on Twitter, and he also has a podcast called The Reformed Recon. That's his wife, Liz. They actually visited our church a few months ago, so I've known Jay for a while. Lovely people. And I thought that was great when he posted that. And he said, look, I'm standing next to Keith Foskey. So,
well, I laughed to myself because I went, here's Doug, who unsuspecting, he didn't know he was getting thrown into this persona of you saying you're the Harbor Freight Doug Wilson. It's one thing to take a picture with you and go, hey, look at him with the Harbor Freight Doug Wilson. He's saying, oh, no, this is just Keith Foskey now. Now it's fully come around to where if you see Doug, you just have to say you're visiting with Keith Foskey. So Jay, that made me laugh, and I go, this has gotten too much and too far, because it's like I'm just randomly getting this on my feed and in my socials now. So touche.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. And I want to say this, if I could, Doug has been super fun with this. He came on and did a debate with me. Well, we did a micro debate, a 30-minute conversation about postmillennialism and amillennialism.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
When I saw him at Fight Laugh, when I saw him at Fight Laugh Feast last year, he came up. We did a picture together. That's actually funny because his wife is in the background photobombing us. I wish I'd have brought that picture, but there's a great shot of him and me with a Harbor Freight Doug shirt. I had a Harbor Freight Doug shirt, and it's me and him, and his wife is sticking her head up behind us. If I'd have known, I'd have asked her to come be in the picture, but it was just a great moment, because I whispered to him, I said, does this bother you? And he said, not at all.
He said, no, you just softly whispering in my ear. That's what bothers me. move away, funny man.
This is all a labor of brotherly love. It's in no way intended to be offensive. And if anybody's ever taken it that way, because I know there's a lot of people who jab at Doug. There's a lot of people who give him a hard time and do stuff at his expense. And that would never be my intention. It's just not my style.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't do that to him anyway.
So, well, let's get into what we wanted to talk about on the show here, the theology of comedy, because a lot of people know, and I want to say this up front, a lot of people know Keith Foskey as a funny guy, as the funny videos, joking around. You are also a very serious person. You're a pastor of many, many years. I heard you preach at the Y Calvinism Conference just a few weeks ago, totally brought the word, brought the fire. So there's definitely two sides of you. And you say, like, Doug getting some pushback, you know, they're going to remain nameless, but there's some people, some very well-known people in the Reformed evangelical world that give you pushback for doing funny videos that I think are, are very funny. They're very astute. They're smart. You have to know, you have to know different things about theology and denominations and the Word of God and kind of cliches and stereotypes and all those things to make a serious subject like denominations, which you do much more than that, but you're famous for those, make them funny. And so you get some pushback on this too. And I kind of wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk about the theology of comedy. You know, as people know who listen to my podcast, and maybe not here, but you're going to hear it now, I'm big into the arts. I'm a musician. I love comedy. All three of my kids are very artistic with arts and pottery and drawing and all those things. And I think those are things that can glorify God. And I think the one that we really don't seem to focus on is comedy in the Reformed kind of Baptist, Presbyterian kind of Calvinistic world. We go, oh yeah, we have art and we do music very well, I think. I think some of the best Reformed rap, some of the best psalms that have been rearranged and rearranged are Calvinistic in tone and, you know, tenor. But comedy is kind of left to the side. There's only a few guys out there doing it. And I go, comedy is one of those things that, you know, that contribute so many things to believers, to the glory of God, to how we communicate, to how we discipline, to how we talk to each other. And I just wanted to get in that with you because you're a guy who uses comedy for the glory of God. You've become popular with that. You're also popular as a pastor, which is a very serious matter, right? Not a whole, probably a whole lot of comedy going on there when you have to go to a funeral or you're at someone's bedside or you're counseling or disciplining, right? So you have this full wide spectrum of who you are. I wanted to talk about the theology of comedy, though. Is it for today? Can Christians use it? Is it something that should glorify God? Is it something we should stay away from? Maybe I just open it up to you and give me your first thoughts on that.
Well, I want to, in the spirit of Doug, I want to quote G.K. Chesterton. Everybody knows how much he likes G.K. Chesterton. And he said this, he said, funny is not the opposite of serious. Funny's the opposite of not funny.
That's it.
And I just love that quote. He said, funny's not the opposite of serious. Funny's the opposite of not funny, right? There are things that aren't funny, but that doesn't mean that if you're that you're being serious, you can't also be funny.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned my preaching. Certainly, I'm not a clown in the pulpit. But as many of us have seen down through the ages, the things that we remember most about some of our favorite preachers are the things that they said that caught us off guard or caught us in a way that we weren't expecting. You know, no one was expecting R.C. Sproul to say, "What's wrong with you people?" But when he did, the room laughed and then stopped laughing. And right. Then they laughed again. It was like, okay, that was funny. It wasn't funny, but it was actually very, I was there in the room when he said that. I was there when he said, "What's wrong with you people?" And I looked at my wife. I said, "That will never go away." I said, "That's going to live forever," because that hit on something. And, you know, think about Vodi Bakum. How many people remember, you know, "That dog won't hunt," or "If you can't say amen, say ouch." Why do we repeat these things? Because they are intentionally meant to rub us in our funny bone for just a second, but to think about what we just heard and put it in the context of something serious while using something funny. So funny is not the opposite of serious. Funny is the opposite of not funny.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good place to start the conversation. And I want to also mention Pastor Yuri Brito. He's with the CREC. He had me come out to his church last 2 months ago and speak. I was in Pensacola and, he had me speak on this subject. And so some of the things I'm going to be saying on the show today are from that, because you and I had talked about that. And he wanted me to talk about the theology of comedy. It really made me had to think through some of these things. And so I'm happy to be able to share this with the audience. Yeah,
it's unbelievable, because one of the things that attracts me to comedy in general too is the fact that most of the time in comedy, you're dealing with some pretty heavy situations. You're dealing with deep thoughts. You're dealing with things that have, you know, sometimes very philosophical, kind of, it's very close to theology. It's deep, it's philosophical, it's things that we wrestle with, it's maybe questions that don't have answers to them. And then you can use it as a vehicle to make it a little bit lighter, like you just said, and then be a teaching moment, you know, not only a teaching moment in a sermon, but I know that there's also, you know, men, you get a group of men together, and we have a camping trip every year at our church. About 150 men and sons just go to camping. What is it called when there's no, it's not campers, it's just, you know, primary camping, you know, rustic camping, just with tents and a vault toilet out in the middle of the woods in northern Michigan. And you get enough guys around, we're eventually going to start joking and ribbing and giving each other a little pull and take. And there's all kinds of beneficial things to even that, to even a little bit. Now, within reason, we're talking about, you know, kindness, gentleness, we're thinking about the fruits of the spirit, but sarcasm or making a joke at someone's light expense, or even joking about things to lift up someone's spirits when a man and a father and a husband is going through something, these are all very therapeutic for the believer, which I think is a common grace of God. And I think ultimately it can bring glory to God. What's another way you see that comedy can be used in that way? Would you agree with kind of what I just said there?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, going back to what happened when I went out to Pensacola, Pastor Yuri had a meal prior to my talk, and it was about an hour of just sitting around with the guys from his church. And you listen and you hear how guys talk to each other. You know, it's like there's a meme out there right now where it's like how women talk to each other and how men talk to each other. A woman asks a woman, you know, "Do you think I'm fat?" And the girl's like, no, "You're beautiful." And a guy would say, "Do you think I'm fat?" And he's like, "I know five fat people and you're four of them." And right. That's like that's the difference.
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah.
that, That's like, that's and so I heard that kind of good-natured, funny ribbing going on between the brothers as they're sitting down eating, you know, one guy's like, poking fun at another guy, and nobody's getting their feelings hurt because nobody's taking themselves too seriously. Everybody understands that all of this is just the way men interact with one another. We're not bullying one another or treating each other poorly or sending anyone home with a complex. We're laughing about our blessed inconsistencies and our blessed imperfections, which make us who we are. And if we can't laugh at those things, if we can't have some level of humility where we realize we're not the toughest guy in the room, we're not the best looking guy in the room, or, you know, unless it's me, you know, so that's, you know, I think those are, that's a good way. And men tend to, you know, we appreciate respect from other men. And sometimes the way we get respect from other men is by being willing to receive their jokes in a way that is not offended. The guy who's always offended, who's so touchy, it's hard to respect that guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to respect somebody who you can't joke with.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's such a good point. I would say a few things about that. One, anytime I've been around a group of guys, and this even includes the group of 15 or so we had in our house when we were down at the conference a few weeks ago, a lot of it is self-deprecating as well, too, because there is a sense of humbleness there. Like, we can joke about it, but hey, it's not a joke in the sense of I'm better than you, so I'm going to put you down, bully you, right? It's a sense of as men, you keep each other in check that way. It's a really cool thing to where, you know, when you see like a Jordan Peterson clip and he's like, 99% of men die before women, 98% of bricklayers are women, 92%, you know, we work hard, we die young, we have to provide, we're giving up our lives for our wives and our children, we have ministries, we have jobs, we have all these hard things in life that God calls us to. And when you're around brothers in the Lord, it's good to kind of not only let off steam in that way, but it allows us to look at each other with comedy and say, hey, brother, I understand what you're going through because I'm also a man. I'm also masculine. I also have these duties and responsibilities. But here among brothers, we are going to allow that valve to be let off a little bit and joke and be jolly and have fun. And when I say joke, I'm not always talking about sarcasm or put down. I'm talking about there are times when you can come together in just a dumb joke or a dumb story or something where maybe you messed up or you didn't expect something. And those things, I believe, like I've said, are something that we can really harness for the glory of God, not just in our private gatherings as men, but also how you are doing and how others are doing. To where, you know, you do a denominational video, you're bringing knowledge and intellect and some wisdom to something that is funny if you look for it. Now, I think the dunce, the moron would look at that and go, oh, well, this is just stupid. This is dumb. And there's people that will say that. But if you really understand what you're trying to do, I like to read into it a little bit more. And I go, okay, he understands every one of these, let's say a denominational video. He understands every one of these denominations. He understands the stereotypes. He understands, why there are differences. And you're not doing anything outside of orthodoxy or anything like that in your videos, but your comedy also sometimes will make fun of the absurd. It'll highlight the things, you know, that don't make sense. And I think that's where comedy comes from too, is when there's absurdity in the world, it needs to be pointed out. And sometimes just saying, that's absurd. Well, that doesn't really get the attention. Like you said, what's wrong with you people, right? He could have said, no, I don't agree with that. But he looks out and goes, what's wrong with you people? And you go, whoa, that's a hook for the next 25 years, you know?
Yeah. And again, I go back to Doug. I'm channeling my inner Doug here.
Okay.
You know, I've mentioned to you several times in our conversations about the message that Doug gave called Winsome Tartness. I think it was in 2018, but where he talked about how you respond to the ridiculous. Yeah. You can either, if someone comes and, you know, it's an obvious man who's dressed as a woman and, you know, got an Adam's apple the size of a plum sticking out of his, well, I guess an apple.
I was going to say apple, yeah.
you know, he's still got, you know, 5 o'clock shadow.
I like to see the maturation of you running through your head of what fruit can I say for an Adam's apple? And then the last thing that you landed on was, oh yeah, apple. It's in the name. Okay, that's good.
Oh, by the way, I'm not very intelligent. All of this humor is from my wife. She helps me write all these.
Hey, so behind every great comedian is their wife who's writing their material, you know?
That's right. She's a genius. But, you know, he said, you know, if you see this, you can respond to this with a very articulate, very well laid out, very well thought out argument that includes nuance and includes respectable address and tempered speech. He said, or you can just look at it and say, I don't think so, Skippy. And I love that because everything that would, everything that's in that, that matters is still there. It's you're saying this is ridiculous and I'm going to treat it with the ridiculousness that it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think there's genius in that. Genius in that.
And there's wisdom in that as well too. I want to get into the practical ways that we can use comedy for the glory of God, whether that be on socials, in person, evangelism. But first, guys, I got to tell you about Prodigal America Conference. It is the best conference in the country. God the Father is waiting and looking down the road for all his prodigal sons to return. Will prodigal America return to the Father in repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, or will we fall on into our own destruction and become a pillar of salt as a memorial for other nations? Join us on Reformation Weekend, October 31st through November 2nd in Fort Worth, Texas for the annual Fight, Laugh, Feast Prodigal America Conference. You'll spend the weekend hearing from George Grant, Steve Deese, James White, Doug Wilson, Dusty Devers, and much, much more. We're going to be singing songs. We're going to be feasting on good food and beer. Get tickets at prodigalamerica.com. Guys, you know the Dead Man Walking Podcast has been to every single Fight, Laugh, Feast. We will be there again in Fort Worth, Texas. We're looking forward to it this fall. Go get your tickets, prodigalamerica.com. Cool. So what are the practical ways that we can implement comedy into, like I said, evangelism, among brothers in the Lord? Like, what are some practical things? Should we all go up there and make a Keith Foskey 2 account and start doing videos? I mean, that's not for everyone, right? And you have that space, so let's let you have your lane. Like, what are we doing there, do you think? What are some practical things you could give us?
Well, I do want to, I want to mention this, and this is, this is maybe going to take it a little different direction, but we'll come back. I know.
Okay.
And that is the something that I've been saying ever since I started this. And it really became more fleshed out when I did my first stand-up act. Remember, I did my first stand-up act last year.
Yeah.
I entitled it, first it was called Keith is Scared of Everything, 'cause it was about all my phobias and the things that I deal with. 'Cause I'm acrophobic. I'm claustrophobic. I have all these fears. And I talked about that and how fear and faith aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. And I talked about how a pastor can still be afraid of stuff. But what I said in there though, is I said, comedy is therapy. And that term has sort of caught on with me. And it's something that I'm saying a lot. And, there is an actual website that I have nothing to do with that's like, they're like comedians who go and go into, hospitals and try [S2] Sure. [S1] To make people feel better. I'm not associated with them. I think that's great. If what they're doing is, you know, is helping people, that's great. But I just want to make sure people don't think I'm, you know, [S2] Right. [S1] Accidentally or on purpose and endorsing them. I'm not. Because the term just came to me one day, and it was from the text where it says that a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones, right? Mm. That one verse together says, okay, you have something that can do good for you, and there's something that can do bad for you. And what can do good for you is a merry heart, and what can do bad for you is a broken spirit. And I want to share two quick stories, and these are stories that I have permission to share. I've talked to the people about them, but I just want to mention these two because I talked about these in my talk with Pastor Brito and his group. And that was, I have a very dear friend who lost two sons in a period of 18 months. Mm. And it was a terrible tragedy. Both of them were seriously just the most difficult things I've ever had to minister through. And this is one of my closest friends in the whole world. And so for the week and a half after his sons passed away, both of them, I would go to his house every day and I would just sit with him all day. And we would just talk all day. And inevitably our conversations would have that inevitable storytelling, you know, we would be talking and we would be laughing. And then I would leave to go home at night and he told me later, he said, I never wanted you to leave. He said, 'cause while you were here, I could smile a little, I could laugh a little. He said, but when you left, it was dark and I was alone and there was pain, and I wanted you to come back. And so I did that for several weeks with him, just going to his house every day and spending time with him. And so that's not being a comedian, that's being a friend. But in that, I mean, we can tell you some of the funniest things, stories and things that we just told each other through all that. And we became such better lovers of one another, better brothers through that. And I say that was a chance where telling funny stories and talking and having that spirit really brought a therapy in that moment. And the same thing happened with my wife. Her mother was very sick, and she was in the hospital with her mother, and her father, her mother was sick, and she wanted pizza. And the doctor said, you can't have pizza. But she's very, very sick, and she's actually getting close to the end of her life. And my wife was like, just let her have the pizza. Why wouldn't you let her have the pizza? Well, her father piped up and he told this strange story from when he was a kid. He said, you know, when I was younger, I drank a whole bunch of moonshine and ate a whole bunch of pizza, and I ended up getting sick all night. And he's sitting in the hospital room telling this story to all the people. He said, I got sick all night. And he said, I ended up throwing up all the pizza. And he said, that was 50 years ago. And he said, I haven't had pizza since. And my wife pipes up in the middle of this and she goes, Dad, don't you think it might have been the moonshine, not the pizza, that was the problem? Right, so yeah. He didn't give up the moonshine. He gave up the pizza. So
out of those two, he goes, there's one I can't have ever again. It's the pizza. Yeah, that definitely did it.
So, but that just turned the whole atmosphere of this whole situation into something funny. And for that moment, it was a therapeutic moment. Even the person, the mom who's in the bed, had a chuckle and a laugh. And even in those difficult moments, a word fitly spoken, right?
Yeah.
Apples of gold, right? You know, yeah. That even a word, it's like Chesterton said, it's not that funny is the opposite of serious. Funny can take a serious moment and give it a memorable moment. It can give it something that brings your heart up instead of down.
Yeah.
And there's actually scientific backing for this. There's been studies that have shown that, you know, we hear the term laughter is the best medicine. Well, if you look it up, I'm going to read this for you. It says laughter decreases stress hormones. It increases immune cells and infection fighting antibodies. It improves your resistance to disease. It triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel good chemicals. Endorphins promote the overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. Laughter may even help you to live longer. This is a scientific study that I cite in my lecture. So this is just something to consider, right? There's an actual therapeutic benefit to comedy. And when I say comedy, there's a therapeutic benefit to laughing.
Yeah.
So however we get there, it doesn't have to be a stand-up comic. It doesn't have to be somebody dressing up in 14 different outfits and doing denominational stuff. But laughter is valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you kind of answered my question right there. You said you're going to get around to it, but that's a practical way of saying, okay, lifting someone's spirits in a serious situation, you know, and it goes back to what I said at the top of the show. It's a common grace of God, because even the unbeliever, even the one who rages against God, can take part in laughter and the benefits that it has physiologically, you know, psychologically, like physically, all those things for us, to where it's a common grace to be able to do that. And when you realize that once you're regenerate and you're saved, you go, okay, I glorify God with everything that I do. You can say even this comedy thing, this you know, laughter and funny and jokes and joking around, those things can be uplifting and glorifying to God in all situations in life. Obviously, use wisdom, use discernment, make sure it's appropriate in the right time and the right place. Make sure it's coming from the right heart. You know, before I was saved, I really loved cutting comedy, dark, cutting, sarcastic, put down, roast, right? But I loved it because it made me feel better if someone else was feeling less, right? And that's not the way you enjoy comedy. And I was a sinner, and I was full of pride and you know, still a sinner and still full of pride, but now regenerate and being sanctified. So I can still enjoy even something like sarcasm if done correctly. I read Christ when he says, hey, why don't you take that plank out of your eye before you start talking about the sawdust and your brothers? There's a little bit of sarcasm there. Now, I'm not trying to take our Lord and Savior in Christ and go, oh, go out there and do horrible, mean comedy. Jesus taught. No, I'm saying he even used human attributes in the way to make a point. So in that point, he's going, hey, buddy, take the 2x4 out of your eye. Okay? And because, I mean, that's just an obscene thing to a 2x4 in your eye. I mean, he's over-exaggerating for the sake of, like, understanding what you're doing here. So even when you see Christ using idioms and analogies and humor and a little bit of sarcasm there of, like, hey, you need to understand what you're doing before you proceed, and using comedy to do that, I say, yeah, like you said, there's some real life, you know, situations where we can use that and glorify God, in so much that it's so important that even the you know, part of the network that I belong to, and even part of the, you know, the conference that I was just talking about, what's the network? Fight, Laugh, Feast. You know, they've even understood that laugh has to be in the middle of that. We have to fight and build and do those things for the kingdom. We have to laugh among brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then we feast on the good things that the Lord has given us, not just physical food, but the things that we've built, the things he's provided, nature, all those things. So even Fight, Laugh, Feast has that laugh in there. And we've elevated it to a place where, yeah, we have to do those things unto the glory of God. As we round this out here, Keith, I know that you have done, and I don't know if it's available online, so I might be speaking out of turn here, but your theology of comedy, your presentation that you did some time back, is that available anywhere if anyone wanted to listen to it to get a more maybe in-depth on what we're talking about today?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to, if you type in calvinistpodcast.com, it'll take you right to my YouTube page. I don't have a landing page that sends you to YouTube. I just, because YouTube is my primary presence on, yeah, on the internet right now. So if you go to calvinistpodcast.com, it's just it's a forwarding link. It links you right over to my page. And it was back in January when I spoke at Pastor Brito's church. So look up Theology of Comedy, but also would encourage you, if you go back to last October, my first and only so far stand-up act has been, I was doing a fundraiser with a local men's ministry. I preach at a local men's ministry every Thursday. And by the way, that can be hilarious. These guys, sure, some of these guys are just like just days off of being on the street. They've now come into this ministry and they're being loved on and they're being discipled and they're being taught the gospel and they're being, and I get to do that every Thursday. And it's awesome to go in there and do that. And those guys are hilarious. They ask you ever want to talk about the Nephilim? Those guys want to talk about the Nephilim. I'm not even kidding. That's like their thing. And so you go there, you teach. But that you know, ministry is, see, I lost my track. See, I'm not very smart.
You start talking about Nephilim and Nephilim, you know, you go off the rails. I mean, oh, you know.
I did my fundraiser. My first stand-up comedy act was at the fundraiser for that ministry. And it's a 15-minute stand-up, but it does talk about the distinction between fear and faith. Even my stand-up act is somewhat like a sermon, you know, sure, because that's just how I'm built. I've been preaching, you know, I've been the pastor of the church I'm in for 18 years. So, you know, my brother said sometimes when I talk, he says, well, it's you just went into sermon mode. I was like, I'm sorry. That's just sort of how I'm built.
That's what I do, baby. Yeah. So, okay. As we round this out here, what if we've got, the stoic Christian, the traditionalist, the stiff-backed kind of stiff-necked, hey, you're not supposed to be funny. We're supposed to be in robes and we're supposed to, you know, stand up straight and I don't know, speak, I don't know, I'm stereotypes. You know, these guys that go, hey, that's not for us. Leave that to the world. Leave it to the secularists to go into stand-up comedy clubs and make art that's funny and movies and things like that. What would your pushback be to that as someone who is a pastor, who has a ministry, who is a shepherd, and who does comedy, both stand-up and comedic videos? What's your pushback there if they go, I don't think Christians should have anything to do with those things?
I don't think so, Skippy.
Okay, I think that's going to be the episode then. I don't know. Do you want to give a serious answer? We're just going to leave it on, I don't think so, Skippy.
I love that answer, but
I might just cut it there. We might cut the episode there, guys. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but a more nuanced or serious response might be something to the effect of, or even I might even get more witty and say, just because you're not funny doesn't mean I can't be. That's a little harsh and sarcastic, but that's, sure. that's my inner man coming out, or my, you know, yeah, my fleshly, yeah, you know, desire to defend myself. No, I think, I want to cite a book.
Okay.
There's a book called What's So Funny About God, It is, I forget the author, and I can't endorse everything about the book. There are some things in it that are a little weird, but in general, I think the first few chapters are really good. And he says this in the book. He says that this is a space that Christianity as scholarship has not explored because we don't think it's worthy of our time. We don't think it's worthy to explore the space of comedy. Instead, we've focused on everything else and we've given this to the world and said, this is yours. But it's not, you know, as again, the CREC model is all of Christ for all of life, right? Which means art belongs to God, which means comedy belongs to God, which means if I do comedy, I can do it to glorify Christ in so much as it glorifies Christ. Mm. And when I cease to glorify Christ, then I got to ask myself, what am I doing this for? Yeah. Right? When it ceases to glorify Christ, then I have, because people ask me all the time, when do you go too far?
Yeah.
I say, I go too far when it's no longer glorifying Christ, you know, and I have to really address what that means and how I understand that. But definitely we don't give this to the world. It's God's. So let's use it.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Where can they find you at, Keith? Online and your podcast, throw it out there.
CalvinistPodcast.com. Take you to the YouTube page. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @YourCalvinist. Or if you want to just email me directly, it's CalvinistPodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to call me, my number is 911.
All right. Well, thank you, Keith Foskey. Doug Wilson. I mean, Keith, whoever you are, we appreciate you being on and talking to us today. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
All right. You have a good one, brother. All right, guys. Keith Foskey, go check him out. Comedy, Theology of Comedy. We thank you so much for letting me take over Cross Politic for a few minutes. Hopefully maybe next week, I don't know, you might have the Knox back. You might have Pastor Toby. You might have the Water Boy. Gabe might come in here. I don't know. Maybe we take it over again. Maybe we run rampant on the house while those guys are out. But I really appreciate them letting me do this and talk about what we talked about today. Guys, as always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless.
You sit in church week after week, embracing the truth of God's word. You believe the gospel and claim Jesus Christ as your Lord. Yet you continue to struggle with pornography. You feel like a hypocrite, returning to the sin you hate that mocks the God you love. You desperately wonder, is lasting freedom even possible? Yes, you can overcome pornography, but not alone. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Only by repeatedly running from sin to Christ with other believers can you hope to enjoy lasting freedom. You can live with purity and integrity. Take courage, seek accountability, and do whatever is necessary. Get equipped at accountabletoyou.com.